Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 94 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is March 10th, and it's me and Katie here. I'm Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and everywhere as Summer Yarns, SummerYarns.
I'm Katie. You can find me on Ravelry as Katie B, KayteeBee. And Instagram's Katie B with a KT at the end. My Ravelry profile has all my links for Goodreads and stuff like that as well.
Sorry it's been a little bit longer than we had planned to record. We really do intend to be on a regular schedule, but we were supposed to record 2 weeks ago, and the weather was scheduled.
Well, it was scheduled to be.
it was going to be pretty, I think there was like floods or street flooding forecast or the possibility of it. In Houston, that's a real concern. And since Katie lives about 30 minutes away from me, I didn't really want to get out in that or get out here and then get stuck in that. So we decided to postpone it, and this was the next time we could record. So still planning on staying on a more regular schedule, just sometimes life gets in the way. I hope everybody out there is having a good spring or looking forward to spring. Everything is kind of greening up here. All the azaleas down, well, everywhere, but in front of City Hall, they're just absolutely glorious right now. You can check out my Instagram and see. I can't really capture it's like overwhelming. They're just so pretty this year.
Everything they lasted longer.
Yeah, they don't. They only last maybe two weeks or so. And this year, I was worried that because we had a little bit of got some warm weather and then had a cold snap that they were gonna, they weren't gonna be great. But everything bloomed at the same time. So you've got basically like 3/4 of a city block on 3 sides that are just full of blooms. It's just gorgeous. I could go on and on.
Yeah, I took a couple years ago, my lunch hour and took a whole bunch of different pictures of close ups and stuff like that. So they're 2 or 3 different shades of pink and white and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
really, really pretty. finished objects are not our kind of sparse right now, but I've been knitting a lot. I don't know about Katie, but we've got a little bit of everything else. So let's get started.
Okay.
So finished objects, I don't think Katie has anything. And the only thing I have are spinning. So let me pull that out. I tried to get organized, but I have too much stuff. So let me dig these two out. Neither one of these have been washed, have had baths yet. So
that one's pretty.
That one's really pretty. So the one Katie is looking at right now, they're both Elemental Fiberworks. That one is First Exoplanet, and it's on BFL silk, so blue flame.
You can tell there's silk in it because
it's got a sheen, and it's got some like grays and more like purplish grays and peach and turquoise and pink. It is really pretty, and it's more or less striping. I spun this one. I just split it straight down the middle lengthwise, and then spun them both starting on the same end. So they kind of, it stripes for the most part, but it turned out really, really nice. And then the other one is Targi Bamboo Silk in the Kepler 16B colorway. And it's kind of purples and yellows. Kind of a
very Louisiana. Yeah.
It is very Louisiana. Which was, since I was spinning it around Mardi Gras, that kind of, that's appropriate.
Orange, yellow, and purple.
These aren't really my colors, but again,
In stripes or something, mitts or something that aren't,
And it's all, I didn't show this last time, did I?
I don't think so.
Yeah. It is, hand spun makes such a great gift. That it doesn't really, if I spin something that's not my colors, it will be somebody's colors.
Right.
So, there's those two things. And then, works in progress. I'll just go ahead and continue since that was so short. I'll start out of order here. The main thing I've been working on is a sweater. It's a fingering weight sweater called Distract Me by Amanda Weger, maybe, W-O-E-G-E-R. And I'm using Suburban Stitcher Sock in the Slate Blue and River's Edge colorways. I've only gotten to the Slate Blue so far, but I've made quite a bit of progress. I started this just about a month ago. She had a trunk show, which we'll talk about in a minute, at a local yarn store, local-ish yarn store. And I bought the yarn, and that was a month ago, today, actually. Yeah. Where am I? It's all tangled. You can kind of see. I finished the front yesterday, or up, the shaping for the armholes is done front and then back, and then you join it together. So I finished that and joined it yesterday, and I'm about 5 rows down from that, so a decent amount. I've got 13 more rows to go before I stripe in the green. Okay. And they're taking about more than 15 minutes to do around. It's 300 stitches around. But now it's completely mindless stockinette in the round. So I think it'll go pretty quickly. I was really kind of hoping I could get that done before the two conferences I'm going to, but that's in a month. I don't know. Probably not, but it is stockinette. So
maybe, once you get the whole, yeah, into the more of the body part.
Right. Yeah. So it might. We'll see. Though I wanted to show Katie. This is really funny. It completely perfectly matches my iPad case.
The nice, like, chambray.
Yeah. Yes. Very chambray.
Chambray blue.
Yeah.
On the greener side.
Yeah. I like it a lot. And then the River's Edge that's going to stripe in is a green. Which one is this? It's in here somewhere. It's hard to see the contrast. There we go. Yeah. It's a kind of a moss green with some blue and brown. Like, it's moss green with some blue with some brown flecks. That'll be really pretty. That's the color that Diane dyed for Hurricane Harvey. I bought mine later, so it didn't go to Hurricane Harvey relief, but the color is really pretty. So let's see. That has gotten the majority of my attention at home, but I have, each week I've done a little bit of something else. So I've worked a little bit on the Quaker Lines by Susan Ashcroft. This is a variation on the Quaker yarn stretcher that a lot of people do and use for hand spun, except it's kind of in the free or fade
shape. Textured.
Yeah,
it's really pretty.
It is really pretty.
I don't like that, I think.
This one, it's hand spun. I used Three Waters Farm, it's Rambouillet, and the Birds in the Holly colorway. It was a club colorway from a few years ago. And it overall reads reads blue, but it's got some pops of red and pink and blues and grays in there. But the overall effect, I think, will be blue, especially if you look at what I have left, it's very much a bluish tone. So I am probably 2/3 of the way through with this, and it's going pretty quickly. It's a fairly mindless knit as well. Then I haven't marked on this in a while. I just zipped my yarn into my bag. Wait, maybe I didn't. Let's hold on. Let's worry about
that
later.
Set that down.
I haven't worked on it in a while, but the Constellate Hat by Hunter Hammerson. My themed Constellate or Galaxy bag with constellations on the inside. This one is, Hunter Hammerson has really, actually relatively simple patterns, but they are interesting looking. I was smart and put little progress markers in all of mine, so right before I came, so that next time I will know where I was. Isn't that smart and forward thinking? So this has a bit, it's got a 4-inch ribbed brim. And then it starts in this interesting kind of V pattern. That's picking up the variations in this yarn. Oh, the yarn is Kimmeries Knitnacks in the Stargazing colorway, which is, it is mostly kind of a charcoal gray to black,
yeah,
with pops of purple and pink and a little bit of, I guess it's just really just like a light pink. But
are you still going to give that, yeah, to Jimmy?
I don't know. I mean, it's sparkly and it's feminine, but the purple is
a little girly.
Yeah, and the thing is that he's gonna, if he's wearing this, it's gonna be out at night when, yeah, he's doing a star party or something. So it'll go in the cabinet, and if he wants to wear it, he can wear it. Otherwise, I'll probably wear it. But it's an interesting, it is, I like doing patterns like this that have an interesting stitch. It's not a difficult stitch, but it just is something different.
Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying that one. I would recommend it. She just released another one. I don't remember what it's called, but it's got another kind of space name, I believe. And it's also doing a really interesting stitch. I saw it on my recommended just this past week. So, you might want to take a look at that if it sounds interesting. Then I have the Knitting at the Library Cowl by Corey Eichelberg. She's iRock Knits on the interwebs. And I'm using Open Skies yarn. It's a mini skein set in the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind colorways that I got at Yellow Rose Fiber Festival last year. And I haven't made it very far on this at all. I've done, I think it's, it calls for, I think, 12 rows of twisted rib, and I've got maybe 8 or 9. It's, twisted rib goes so slow. I've got too much twisted rib in my life right now. But, this particular one, I started with a blue that the individual mini skeins don't have names. I don't know if Jeanette did a full line of full skeins of this, or if she only did the mini skein set, but the set that I have did not have names for them. But this one is blue with some flecks of purple, and then there's like a red and blue, mostly, yellowish with blue and orange, another yellowish with blue and orange, but it's got more orange. The other one has more blue, and then another with blues and reds that are, I took a picture and labeled them in the order that I want to go to, because I already can tell you I don't remember. But it's just a sampler cowl. Corey uses it, I think, as a beginning knitting pattern just to teach different techniques. I think it has like an Eye of Partridge heel type stitch section, and some other stuff. I'm not very far in it, so I think there's a mock cable in there. Mm. It'll be interesting, but like I said, the sweater's getting most of the attention. Otherwise, I probably would have worked on that just a little bit more. And then, let's see. I don't have with me, but I got about 3 rows done on the Argent Curl this week. That's by another pattern by Hunter Hammerson. I'm using Cascade Heritage Sock on that. Didn't get much done. And then at work, I'm working on the Higgin Gusset Mitts by Mona Drager. It's a nitty pattern from a while back. I don't know how long ago. I'm using Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the Snapdragon colorway, which is a bright, a green and like a kind of a spring green and hot pink colorway. I made socks with that a few years ago, and this is where my life is too full of of twisted rabbits. Basically, the whole thing, the cuff is twisted rib, and then there's a it kind of decrease, the twisted rib decreases and the stockinette portion increases on the palm. And then you have an option for either just a mitt, or you can do gloves, and I'm doing the mitt portion. But there's twisted rib basically the whole way up. Luckily, I have small hands. I did find some versions of the pattern in worsted or DK, and I would be willing to do it again. I like the pattern. It's really slow going. I am about halfway done probably with the second mitt, now. This was supposed to be a quick knit for March. I mean, for February, and it's not been a quick knit at all. And then spinning, I am currently spinning Two Guys Yarn Wensleydale in the Shortcake colorway, and I actually brought, I was spinning in the Fiber Snap, so I had some that I could actually bring, but Wensleydale is a long wool, so it's got this, it's got a really long, really staple. Long staple, and which makes it actually a really fast spin. So I started this sometime this week, and I'm probably, I've finished the first bobbin and probably a third of the way through the second bobbin. And I spun 15 minutes this morning. So this will probably be, the single will probably be done tomorrow, and I'll have it plied, you know, sometime early in the week. And I can move on to a new thing. Oh, but the colorway, it's Shortcake, so you can imagine it's reds and pinks with some undyed sections. And it's spinning up really nice. I'm enjoying it. It's a really nice palette cleanser. And that's it.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let me share some news. So, I got a new job. I now work with Summer, kind of, sort of. We have the same boss.
Department, but we see each other less than we did.
Yeah. So I went from being a reference librarian to being a digitization project manager. Our library has a digitization lab, and they needed a project manager. So I applied and got the job, and so I'm learning all the ins and outs of project management, digitization, archives, whatnot. So my schedule is more or less still the same, 8 to 5 every day. No nights, no weekends, although I kind of miss nights and weekends. I know everyone's like, but no nights and weekends. And I'm just like, yeah, but
I get that extra time during the week that we're, yeah, that it does. I haven't done nights and weekends in 6 years, but every once in a while I do still miss.
Right. Well, it was convenient. Like, I would go to the eye doctor on Wednesday mornings, which was my late night. So then I didn't have to worry about driving home in rush hour because I stayed until 8 o'clock, and I didn't have to take half a day of sick or vacation. And then having that day off every couple of weeks just to, you know, run errands or have a doctor's appointment where you don't have to use sick time or, you know. So, my brain right now can only handle learning one thing. Well, I also decided that I was going to switch from English to Continental. And so I can do knit stitch. I'm not real fast. I'm pretty even, but I'm not real fast. But my brain can only handle one new thing right now, and that's more or less the job. So I haven't really been knitting a whole bunch. I haven't gotten to the point where I can do purls really well yet, or like knit twos together, or, you know, stuff like that. So I've been crocheting a lot. I did do a little bit of, I did maybe a section and a half on my Free Your Fade, which is the long skinny scarf by Andrea Mowry. I'm using Miss Babs Kawaya DK in some various shades of dark grays to purples. Like I said, I've only done about a section and a half, so maybe 30, 40 rows since we last met. At work, I have the Bankhead Hat by Susie Gourlay. I've done maybe, I don't know, 2 inches, so 20, 25 rounds on that, just to work on my technique. And Malabrigo worsted, I'm so used to Plucky and all this other smoother yarn that going back to Malabrigo worsted is so drag. It drags.
Oh, yeah, it's not smooth at all.
It's not smooth at all. So that slowed me down
super
a little bit.
Super soft.
Yeah, I still love it, but it's just,
knitting with it is different. It's
when you're used to all the stuff with cashmere and stuff in it. So, because I don't have any brain space, I've been crocheting granny squares. I really wanted to do a temperature blanket. And I had made a gauge swatch. I really wanted to do a granny stripe blanket with worsted yarn. And I didn't think that through before I bought all the yarn. So that would be 365 rows. It would have been like 19 feet long. And even going down on worsted, you don't really want to knit probably smaller than an H. I think these are H's. I don't know that I'd want to really go much smaller than an H. Mm-hmm. It still would have been, you know, big. So I'm like, well, screw that. So I'm kind of doing an unconventional granny square temperature blanket. Temperature blankets, more or less, you know, you do a row or two rows per day, depending how you want to do it. Well, I'm taking the high for every day and making that one round of the granny square. So when you would look at a regular temperature blanket, it would be kind of like a gradient, and you could see as you go through the year. So this will be a little bit different because I'm doing 7 days for each square. The math works out that I would have 52 squares. Well, you can't really get kind of a squarish blanket out of that, so I'm going to have to make 4 extra squares. So, last year was our 15th wedding anniversary. I turned a certain age that year. So I'll just pick 2 or 3 days to make special days, make special squares. So I'm using, loops and thread worsted from Michaels, in some various colors. I'm not doing a straight rainbow because Houston highs, more or less 3/4 of the year, are 70 to 90, which would make it all green and orange. Mm-hmm. I didn't put any yellow in my... I'm like, I like green and I like orange, but I don't want a whole blanket that's more or less green and orange. So, I rearranged the rainbow a little bit. I'm on my 14th or 15th square right now. So right now it's so far a lot of, I have 2 shades of reds, 2 shades of like a teal and an aqua, 2 shades of green, like a sagey green and then a slightly darker green. And then the next couple we'll start incorporating some of the oranges. I need to go get more yarn. When I was at Michael's the other day, they must like a run on yarn because it was like, no, I got like 3 skeins. And then I got to figure out how I want to join them together because it is going to be 56 squares. So it's going to be a nice size. Probably like I end up being a queen size, mm-hmm. full size queen size blanket. I don't want to whip stitch them together. I would probably either crochet them together or I want to join them as you go or something. I am sewing the ends in as I go because that's just more efficient and I don't mind doing that. I'd rather do it as I go.
Yeah.
And I'm putting little tags on them so I know which order's which.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a good use for old business cards. Dave has a job from like 8 years ago, a box of business cards. So I'm just cutting those up and using little stitch markers to put them on there. So I'm going to start probably putting some of those together because I've got enough for 2 rows right now almost. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's all I've been working on because I just don't have the brain space. Plus the Olympics were on, yeah. And it's just easier to pick up a granny square because I know the pattern than, you know, trying to fight learning continental right now.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's it.
Other crafty adventures. I am still working on the cross-stitch stocking for my husband. Funny thing is he has recently joined Instagram. I mean, he's had an Instagram account for a while, but he hadn't actually really been using it. And so he's been actively watching, which now there's one more social media that I can't complain about my husband. No. That's what this is for. No, I know. I don't, because I know that he might end up there. No. But I do. He's been following me, and he said he is really enjoying watching the stalking progress because he knows that it's for him.
Oh, okay.
So that's an added incentive. I've also had a few people, who have started doing a 15 minute a day type thing with cross stitch because they see me doing it, which is another added incentive. And for me also, just seeing the progress, it's amazing how just 15 to 20 minutes a day will really, make the pattern progress. So over the past couple of months, I think I started doing this. I don't remember when I started working on the stocking. Maybe it was either right before Christmas or right after Christmas. I have done quite a bit of like the top part of the stocking. So I'm really close to being done with the one section that I'm on. And I've decided I'm going to go ahead and do the back stitching on that before I move the hoop, just because it's already there. And I'll go ahead and do that, and then that part will actually be completely finished when I move on to another part. But I'm really enjoying doing that. There are days when I really wish I could do more, but I also know that if I do more than 15 to 20 minutes, it actually starts to hurt my shoulder. So I'm limiting myself and seeing steady progress and know that it will get done eventually. So that's the only other crafty thing I've been doing right now. We were I wasn't really joking, but we had a meeting earlier this week and I said, or my boss really does not like quilts. And there's a tradition at the library, especially in one department that he was a part of for a long time, of getting a quilt when you retire. And he's hopefully 4 or 5 years out from retirement. Yeah, hopefully longer than that. But, you know, at least a few years. And he said he was trying to slip under the radar so he didn't get a quilt. That's just not his aesthetic. But if he did get one, he really likes cowboys. So I said, oh, well, that now I have a goal. Like, I have to learn to quilt so that I can make a cowboy quilt for Fred when he retires. But
that's the theme of his party.
It will be. I told Sima yesterday, too. So, I mean, this is the
theme of his party right there.
But, so crafty goals. I don't think I mentioned on the podcast around Christmas. I have a friend who I have known, we were pregnant at the same time with our firstborns, and it was on a listserv that we've been a part of for 22 years now, but she is also from Texas, and she had lived in Houston for a while, and her family moved to Australia several years ago, and kind of have been back and forth on whether or not they're coming back to Texas or staying in Australia. And it is decided, at least for now, they're staying in Australia. They actually got their Australian citizenship on Australia Day this year. But she had a sewing table that she needed to get out of storage and asked if I knew of anybody who would want it. And I'm like, well, yeah, I will take it. And it's a really nice one. I am not obviously a sewist, but I mentioned what brand it was to somebody and they were impressed. I think it's koala. It might be kangaroo, but I think it's koala. It's one of those K animals from Australia. And it's a very, very sturdy table, and it's like a big workstation. It's got the one table part, but then it has cabinets that slide out and will make it really, really long, and it has a place to put the sewing machine, although I think I would need to get a panel made for it or something, but it's very, very nice. So I have a perfect work surface if I can find a place. Right now we have one room in the back that it was supposed to be kind of an office. It's become kind of a junk room with my husband's electronics type stuff back there and a few crafty things of mine that we have said we're going to clean out, and that's where this will go. Right now it's not a possibility, so it's in the garage. I was thinking on the way over here though that my kids were talking about moving one table in the living room to a different part, which would leave an empty space, which I can move it in there maybe for now. I don't know. One of my goals was to finish at least one sewing project. So now first step of that goal is to move this table in. Anyway, not there yet. Let's see. Acquisitions. I'll go ahead. I'll finish. So I decided that this year I was going to buy the Leading Men Fiber Arts monthly colors as they come out. Last year I did the Eat, Sleep, Knit Yarnathon with the Willy Wonka colorways. This is basically the same price point, so I decided to continue doing this instead. So I didn't decide this until February, so I got the January and February colors earlier in February, and then I just got the March colorway this week, a couple of days ago. So the January colorway is called Starting Point, and it's a white base with pops of kind of a Kelly green and black and yellow. Some
little pink in there.
Yeah,
too.
A little pink in there as well. So nice and speckledy. And then February is called Only Have Eyes for You, E-U-E-W-E. And it's also got a white base with lots of pink and fuchsia and turquoise and kind of a chartreusey green in there, some brown. And then the March colorway is Twilight Sparkle. And it's very purpley with some pinkish red and turquoise in there. So I got that. And then we already mentioned that we went to the Suburban Stitcher trunk show at Park Avenue Yarn, which is in League City, Texas, which is a little bit south of Houston. It was about an hour drive for us, 45 minutes to an hour for me, and then 30 minutes more for Katie to get to my house. I really like the yarn store. It's too far out for us to go on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. I think we've probably mentioned before, all of the central yarn stores in Houston have closed. And the one out here in Katy closed fairly recently.
A year ago.
Yeah. Has it really been a year?
Almost
already?
A year,
wow.
Yeah.
And then one just opened, actually, in Montgomery. Montgomery,
but
Texas.
That's an hour away.
It's an hour. And that's north. And that one opened. I think she's been doing online for a while.
She opened this week.
I think yesterday. And maybe today or Thursday and Friday, one of those two, was a two-day grand opening. But we'll have to go up there sometime.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point being that Diane had a trunk show down at Park Avenue, so we went down there, and I was, it was really hard because on top of her stuff, there's the whole yarn store full of stuff, and they have...
It's a good yarn store.
Yeah, they have a little bit of pretty much everything, like all of the brands that you can think of, I can think of on, you know, that are major. That, well, they even have Cascade.
So.
Yeah, they have. I mean, a little bit of everything. Not a huge selection of each one, but you can find anything you want.
Mad Tosh, Spun Right Round, Wolf Oak.
There's a little bit of Twisted Owl.
Twisted Owl.
They
had a vegan yarn.
Juniper, I don't remember, is that Juniper Moon Farms or something like that? Shepherd's Wool. I mean, just a huge selection. So,
yeah.
But I ultimately ended up deciding only to get the yarn for my sweater from Diane. So I got three skeins of the slate blue colorway, which we mentioned is kind of a chambray blue. And that's it from then. And then from there. And then last weekend I went to Austin and went to Hill Country Weavers and left with only one skein of yarn. I was good. I had just ordered the Leading Men Fiber Arts, so I kind of felt like I needed to restrain myself. But I ended up with a skein of Woolen Boon in the mint julep colorway. It's a DK. And the cat got into it, and there's some fuzzed parts, but it's not... It's
stinker.
Yeah, and it's my fault. I had the bag sitting on the floor, and the bag was actually sitting upright, and someone actually reached in and got the skein out and kind of and nuzzled it a bit. It's not bitten through, and it wouldn't be the end of the world. I mean, it's not like it's not ruined. It isn't. There's no yarn barf or anything. But it's a kind of a mint green with some flecks of brown.
And yellow.
Really pretty. That's all I got. I don't have it yet, but I ordered this morning a set of the Flexi Flips. I found
handsome. What size did you get?
Zeros, which is the smallest they come in. I usually knit my socks on double zeros, but I could do a sport or something using those. I just really wanted to try them out.
Some people really like them, and some people, they just can't because of the shaft size or something like
I'm curious because I've done, I started knitting socks on two circs and then moved to Magic Loop, and I've done DPNs for something. So I've done all of them, and it seems like a nice combination between the two circs and Magic Loop. Yeah. So I just wanted to try them out. So
I think if I were going to get a set, I would get like a 6 or a 7 and, cause if I want to try a needle, usually I'll get a 7 cause I knit a lot of worsted and if not, Dave will usually use it. I would try it, but I would get like I said, a worsted, a 7 or an 8, something where I can make a hat or mitts or something out of them. I haven't knit socks in a long time anyway, so until I get comfortable with continental, I'm not gonna fuss with using small needles.
And I've heard a couple people say that they find it easier to knit continental with these than English style.
So yeah,
we'll see.
So I know that there's been a run on them, so people have been trying to buy them. Okay. I do have a few acquisitions. Back in December or January, somewhere along the line, maybe Instagram or something, I saw, Indie Untangled was touting yarn from Duck Duck Wool. And I've heard of Duck Duck Wool. She's a newer dyer. I guess she's only been dyeing a couple years. So it was something in relation to Glacier National Park or something. So I got, it's really crinkly, 5 skeins of DK in Glaciers and Wildflowers. It's a DK Limited, which is a 100% superwash merino. So it's a white cream colored base with, like a purple, blue, teal, variegated speckle. So I got 5 skeins of that. Sorry, it's a little crinkly. I did kind of go crazy at Park Avenue with Diane's yarns because she had some that were so pretty.
Her colors are really, really pretty.
Really, really, really pretty. So I got, these are all in the same base. I think she only had 2 bases there anyway. I kind of wish she had brought some DK, but, she only had her sock base and I think her singles base. So I got 6 skeins of her sock base. The first one I got was Predictability. So this is, she's really, really into mauve. So I would say this is like a really light mauve with flecks of really dark purple. And I love purple. So there's that. And then to go with that, I got Eggplant, which is like a medium reddish purple. And then I got Granny Squares, which is a gray
with like that.
Speckles of green, blue, pink, orange. So like a Granny Square blanket cut up. This one I really, really love. This is very similar to a plucky one that I have in some ways. I think it's because of the blue. This is called Poor Provincial Town. So half of it is this icy blue, and the other half is this cream with speckles of purple and this yellowy gold and green. There's some red in there and some purple. So, I don't know. I just thought this was so pretty. And then the last one I got was Menagerie.
I love that one. I kept picking that one up too.
I'm not sure how I would describe the underbase. Kind of like a green, blue, purple. I mean, it's not one underbase color stands out, but it has a really big streak of like a dark, dark purple and some tones of like a dark purpley red. So I think that'll be pretty. I got it because of the purple. So there's that. And then I do not have a wheel yet. I'm still thinking about getting a wheel. That may be, I'll talk to you about that afterwards. Might be something good to do for my brain space since I can't knit right now. I got some fiber from Rock and String Creations. She was doing like $9 or $12 fiber sale. So I bought some, it was mystery fiber. So you didn't know the color, you didn't know the fiber. And so I put in the notes that I'm a new spinner who doesn't even have a wheel yet. So hopefully whatever she gave me is easy to spin. Where's the other one? Oh, it's over there. So I got one that's 100% merino in a color she named Grandma's Quilt. So it's a lot of pink with some white and some blue in it. Very like baby colors, kind of. And then the other one is Shetland, 100% Shetland, in Boho Girl, which is purple, red, like a purple that bleeds into the hot pink and a yellow.
I would recommend starting with the Shetland versus the Merino. Merino is very slippery.
Okay. Well, I have some Polworth or something upstairs from Skyloom Weavers. Yeah. It's really old too, so I think I would start with those two upstairs first because they're colors I don't really care about before I get into better yarn.
Yeah, I enjoy spinning merino, but it was a challenge at first because it's got a shorter staple and it's slippery.
Okay. Yeah, I've got some other fiber upstairs from a long time ago, so I would probably start with that first. And then I got a yarn bowl from Lone Star Art. Her name's Amanda. She's from San Antonio. She makes bags and does dye yarn. So this was one of her little yarn bowls.
I was just thinking at work the other day that this would be perfect to have with my work project to sit up there and put it in there because I can stuff it in a bag.
Right.
So
you never know how clean the thing is in there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look at these at DFW.
And then I don't know if I had gotten this the last time we recorded or not.
I don't think so.
This is a little project, like a big Notions bag from Crafts-O-Matic. So she watercolored the fabric or something like that. Or I don't think it's botanical, but I think it's like watercolored. Some fabric and then cut it up to make these big Notion pouches. So it's like a big pencil case size. Yeah. And so I got it, and then the inside that you see through the plastic has like garter stitch, like a picture of garter stitch fabric. She included some stitch markers. I have another bag of hers, it's like one of my pirate bags. So I haven't used it yet, but I probably need to update I have a couple Notions things. I need to go through and update my Notions things.
That's one of my goals. I have one that I just throw everything in. It's got all my stitch markers just literally thrown in. And I've got another one that I don't have very much in there. And well, I feel like I need to get just a few and distribute some stuff and stick them in bags. But
yeah, I have like a Clinique makeup bag that came free with purchase that I either got or I stole from my mom. And so that really works well for, I can stick the little pouches of stitch markers and needles in the one little section, and then the other section where you would put like your makeup. I have some stuff, but I've got like four Notion pouches. So I'm always, you know, redistributing stuff. You know, if I'm traveling or something, I wanted to make sure I take, you know, X, Y, and Z so that I'm covered. You know, I have enough stitch markers. And, you know, my husband also knits and crochets, so sometimes, you know, I got to make sure I take something for him just in case. So that's, I think, all I've gotten. Since I'm not knitting as much, I'm not buying as much right now, so.
I'm going to backtrack to Works in Progress because I forgot one. I have my Payday socks, which I actually don't remember who the designer is, and because I forgot to put them on my notes, I don't remember. Somebody Oaks? Is there somebody Oaks?
Here, I can look.
But I,
Payday, one or two words?
I think it's one word. This is a, there are several patterns that are similar to this. It has this slip stitch detail that makes the lines, the vertical lines down the cuff of the sock.
Leah Oakley?
Yeah, close. I was close. I'm using Unwind Yarn Company in the Lake Frances Sunrise colorway, which is a beautiful speckled pinks and blues and green, basically anything you can think of. It reads pink. Like the pink is what pops out the most to me. The pink pops up a little more.
It's a little brighter.
Yeah, but I've been working on these for a while, since before Christmas.
Yeah.
And they kind of ride around in my purse, but I actually did pick them up and have made a better progress. I'm past the heel. They have this, if you know how you do the, what do you call it? A heel flap where you do the slip one, knit one, slip one, knit one across. It uses that detail across the bottom of the sock to make kind of like the athletic socks that have that, you know, scrunched in part. And that I'm on that part. I thought I was done with it, and then I looked at the other one and realized I'd done a little bit more. I may be on the last few rows of that now. And then it's just a few more, you know, a couple more inches after that before I start the toe. So I'm really close to finishing these. These are ones I probably should kind of devote some time and get a new sock on the needle before conferences.
Yeah.
So there is that. And then let's see, where were we? Talked about acquisitions. I think we're at reading and watching. Yeah. Yes. So I have finished several books since the last time we recorded. I think I was reading Legend by Marie Lu the last time I was here, which is a dystopian YA book. Gosh, it's been too long.
I know.
To remember exactly what it was. I've had a string of really good ones. I really liked that one a lot, and we'll read the second in the series for sure. Then I read The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller, which is a historical fiction told from the point of view of Patroclus, or Patroclus, however you want to say it. And it is a romance between Patroclus and Achilles, which I had not paid attention to the summary, so I was surprised by that. And Not in a bad way. That's not what I was expecting. And I'm like, gosh, there are a lot of romantic overtures going on. And then my daughter says, Mom, do you not know what this is? She owned the book. I didn't even realize. I bought the Kindle version without realizing that she actually had bought it last summer. But, I really liked that one. That was really good. And then I read Caraval by Stephanie Garber, which is, I guess it's YA.
Yeah.
It is a fantasy for sure. It is set, actually I don't know what the time period is, but it, have you read it?
No.
Yeah, it's basically there's a game. You go to this island and there are all of these clues and it's supposed to be, everything's a game, but maybe it's not really a game. I really liked that one too. It was pretty dark, but, I really enjoyed it. There's another in that series. I'll probably read that one too. That one, I think you either like it or don't like it. I was watching Knit Girls. It was either the last episode, one of their more recent episodes. Leslie was trying to read it and she wasn't enjoying it very much. So your mileage may vary. And then I just recently finished Hard Truth by Nevada Barr, which is another of the Anna Pigeon books. And I've really enjoyed almost all of her books. This one I gave 4 stars. I really liked it. A lot of people really didn't like this one very much. There is a lot of, some girls are, young girls are kidnapped and tortured. And I mean, that part is, it was very disturbing. So, I mean, not that the, it bothered me, but I don't mind reading it. Some people really don't want to read it at all. If that's you, you don't want to read this one. But I enjoyed the book. I'm currently reading Juliet by Anne Fortier, which is, it's not a retelling of Romeo and Juliet. The main character is American and an aunt dies and leaves her sister her estate, but gives her a key to a safety deposit box, is that what they're called, in Italy, and a passport with her real name, which was Giulietta Tolomei. And she finds out that, you know, when she was adopted, her parents had died and her aunt adopted them, and they changed their names, and she didn't even realize she had this other name. And she goes to Italy and finds the safety deposit box, and all it has is some papers, and she thinks that, you know, well, there's nothing valuable about it, but she starts reading, and one of the main characters is Giulietta Tolomei, and this is from like the 1340s or something like that. And it turns out that her mother was doing research on they were basically precursors to Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and it turns out that based on what she's reading, she thinks that she is direct descendant of the real Juliet. And there's intrigue, and, you know, there's still a feud between these two families that they're not the Montagues and Capulets, but they are, right, you know, two other families that it's supposedly based on. And I like the story, the writing. There's a lot of glib. It's, you know, just like, it doesn't fit. It's very, you know, humor added in places that it doesn't really feel like the humor is needed. It's a little too lighthearted. But I'm enjoying the story enough to keep reading. I'm about a quarter of the way done with that one. And then, haven't seen any movies, but we did go see the production of Memphis. It was a local, well, what do you call it? I guess Tuts is local. They sometimes have local performers as well as national performers who perform. They're Broadway quality productions, not like community theater. And I really enjoyed this one. It was about the introduction of rhythm and blues music to white Memphis in the late 50s, early 60s. And there was a lot of racial overtone, a lot of, you know, it was very relevant to times now, but it was also really interesting for me because my mom grew up in Memphis at the same, you know, during this time period. So I can imagine, you know, I think we had even had a conversation about, you know, about music in the 60s and, you know, what white people typically listen to. And there was like one or two black radio stations and how it was kind of scandalous to, you know, if you were listening to the other. And it was really interesting, but what was really moving to me was that, you know, at the very end, the audience was predominantly older white, you know, probably 70s, 80s. And as I'm watching, you know, all of these people standing up and applauding and kind of dancing with music, realizing that these were the teenagers during that time period, and how, you know, here we were watching this and it was complete. I mean, it's completely acceptable. That is, you know, it just showed progress, and I really enjoyed the music and the musical itself, but that was just, it was just very striking to me. So that's it for me.
Okay. Well, I actually have read a few books. I read the novella, The Young Queens, which is part of the, Three Dark Crowns series by Kandari Blake. It's, the story itself is set, it's about the three queens being little girls being raised in the Black Cottage from birth to about age, well, they get taken away at age 6 or 7, and then it covers from that age to about 13, where the first book starts, them living with the different families and working on their gifts and stuff like that. If you do read this, I would not read it until you've read the second book. There are spoilers in The Young Queens, so things are said that if you haven't read the second book, you will be spoiled. It's a novella, it didn't take too long to read. And then the other book that I've read is The Queen's Rising by Rebecca Ross. This is a YA book. It's a little bit of fantasy. I liked it. It's a little bit different, but kind of the same YA, you know, someone needs to save the kingdom type book. So the story starts out with, what's her name? Brianna. Brianna's the girl, and she, in this world, you can do what is called passion. So basically if you have a gift, you can passion in your gift. So art, music, knowledge, there's 5 or 7 passions, I don't remember. So Brianna, has lived with her grandfather, and at the age, usually they send you to school if you're gonna passion at like age 7 or something like that, so that you have 10 years to learn. But, her grandfather takes her when she's like 10 or something like that. So she doesn't get the full range of time to passion. And really, she doesn't have a gift. It's basically her grandfather hiding her from somebody. So he takes her to this school. So she tries various passions without luck. So she tries them for a year. She tries music. She tries wit is one of them. I think art is another one. But she ends up settling on knowledge. So, they have a master. So her master is Cartier, which I can never quite figure out how old he is in the book, but I think if she's a teenager, I think he's in his late 20s. Mm-hmm. So that gets a little weird later on. So half of the book is about her being at this house and learning her passion. And when you turn 17, you passion, so you get your cloak, and then you try and get a patron. Mm-hmm. So basically you go, someone puts you under contract, kind of like, I guess, back what, in the Renaissance and stuff like that, when someone took care of you and you worked for them, or they, you know, paid for you to work on your gift or do artwork for them. So it's kind of what happens when you passion. Well, she does not get a patron,
at that particular time when all of them passion together. So over the summer, she gets sent away to be with this patron. And so there's this whole middle section that kind of drags a little bit. But I enjoyed the book. There are a couple plot twists. I don't know if this is a trilogy or not. It kind of ended like where it could end and be a book all on its own. Now Goodreads has it as an untitled trilogy, so I don't know. So I don't know if maybe they'll be carry on with the same character or in, you know, other series where they'll pick up with a different character and continue the series.
Right.
I don't know. I liked it. I gave it 4 stars. It does drag a little bit in the middle. But there's a good plot twist or two in the middle, so I would recommend it. I think that's all I've read.
So in the kitchen, I think I'm going to rename the segment for the year to Year of the Cookie, because that's all it is. I've been baking weekly out of Dory's Cookies by Dory Greenspan. Yeah, I think that's her name. One of these days I'll write it here so I can remember. I have, in typical summer style, a spreadsheet with all of the recipes from Sally's Cookie Addiction and Dory's Cookies, and I just randomly will choose one to do each week. There are too many to just say I was going to work through one of the cookbooks, so this is the best way for me to do it. So over the past few weeks, I've made 4 recipes, and I would say all of them were successful. All of them were very different. So the first one was, forgive my pronunciation because I have no idea how to say it. It's torta spriscolona. It's an Italian cookie, but it's very crumbly, and it has cornmeal and almonds. I'm trying to remember. I think that those are the main like distinguishing factors about it. But you make the dough and then you like break it into pieces like streusel, and put it into a pan, and then you kind of push it all together, and then you can either cut it into squares or you can serve it so you can break off pieces. I tried to cut it. I ended up with pieces broken off, but I really enjoyed it. It was very different. It was not terribly sweet. This one I did not bring to work because it was too weird. Like the pieces, they weren't uniform, and no one wants to like break off pieces from this community. Yeah. So that one we ate at home. Then I made white chocolate lavender sablés, which are, they're basically shortbread, and the technique she has, you cut them into circles and then you bake them in muffin tins so they keep their shape. I don't remember if I brought these to work. I don't remember if you had these or not.
No.
But they were, you use fresh, culinary lavender and white chocolate, very finely diced or chopped up. And just, they're just little shortcakes. Those were really good. I enjoyed those a lot. And then the next one I made was called Kamish, I think. Kamish. I believe it is a Yiddish, it's kind of a Eastern European version of biscotti. And these were, they had cinnamon and coconut. And if you've had biscotti, it was really similar. You make the dough, you bake it in kind of logs, and then you cut it into slices and then bake the slices at a low temperature. And it's very, very, very crunchy. It wasn't as crunchy as biscotti, I don't think. It wasn't as hard. I really liked it. My husband really liked it. It was different. It was something I'd never baked before at all. And then last week I made peanut butter change-ups, which are peanut butter cookies, and instead of flattening them and putting the crisscross, you just do them in scoops. And that's really the only real difference that I know of. These were delicious. They were, I think, of all of the ones I've made out of the book so far, they've all been really good. And there's only been maybe one or two that I didn't really care for that I've made yet. But this one, these were the best peanut butter cookies I've had, I believe. And they were really, really good. Those are definitely repeats. And then that's all that I have done. The ones that are on the menu for this week are mocha ricotta cookies or something like that. And they're out of the same section, so I think they'll be very similar. But they have, I'm sure the ricotta is in place of something. But I will report back on those next time. I think we have covered it all. I looked at a calendar this morning. I think I'd like to try to record the last weekend of March if we're both available. I'll put it out to Darcy, see if she's available. That's Easter weekend, so I don't think Darcy will be available, but just in case. That's the weekend before I'm leaving for one conference, and then I have another conference a couple of weeks later. So I want to get a recording in before, and then timing should be pretty good for getting one after. And afterwards, I will have been to DFW. First conference I have is in Dallas, and the last day overlaps with the DFW Fiber Fest. So I am dragging a couple of coworkers there. I've told them multiple times, I'll drive, but I'm going to this. If you don't want to go to this, you need to drive your own car, because this is definitely, I never get to go because it is always right around my husband's birthday, and I'm not going to drag him to a fiber festival on his birthday or abandon him on the weekend of his birthday. So since I'm already there, I have an excuse to go. I'll go on Friday. I will be there sometime during the day. I haven't looked at the conference schedule for Friday. Usually the last day of the conference, there's not a whole lot that I'm interested in. Because I'm dragging a couple of other people, I have to be aware of what they want to do. I can always ditch them and go and come back and get them, but yeah. I hate driving in Dallas, and I would rather not drive to Irving. And then, although I'd have to come back in that same direction anyway. It's not like it wouldn't be that big a deal, but I would anticipate that I'll be there late morning and probably only for a couple hours, because we have to drive back to Houston that afternoon. And because the two people that I'm bringing are not knitters, they were both one of them was interested in going, the other one didn't mind going, and I think she'll enjoy the colors and just seeing the stuff. So that is there's an event there planned. Other events coming up, Houston Fiber Fest is end of June. I don't remember the exact dates, but I think we're both planning on going to that.
They haven't released class schedules or anything yet.
So Savannah told me that her mom is teaching a class.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's pretty much it. No retreats for us. I'm very jealous of those of you who were at the Hill Country Weavers or whatever, Knitting in the Hills retreat last weekend. That one's just, it's out of my budget for right now. Maybe one day, or if I wasn't doing anything else. It looked like a lot of fun. I was very jealous. I was even in Austin. But I got my Hill Country Weavers in. But anyway, we will talk to you again in a few weeks. I hope you all enjoy your knitting between now and then.
Bye.